Before I begin my message, just want to, on behalf of my wife and myself, I want to thank you for all those cards and pictures. Beautiful. I love those pictures. They will be on our wall for the next year. And they help us not only to remind us of you, but also to know who you are. And in some of the cases, we have to look for the names. And hopefully that'll change as the year goes by. Last month, I spoke to you about what's in a name. This morning, I would like to continue on that. And as I go along, you will notice the meaning of the many names the Bible uses with reference to Jesus. These names are all descriptions of who Jesus is, and these names meet every need in our lives and experiences. And during the Advent Sundays, four families came up each Sunday, a different family, pointing to the hope of Christ's birth, then to the peace and joy that would bring when Christ would come, as the Savior's love would bring us new life. It's the name the angel, no wonder the songwriter wrote the way he did about the name of Jesus. It's the name the angel Gabriel told Mary to give her son. And it's the same name the angel of the Lord told Joseph to name the boy. I love that song that's in our hymn book, and we'll sing it at the close of this service. I've asked Ernie for that. And it says, the name of Jesus is so sweet. I love its music to repeat. It makes my joys full and complete, that precious name of Jesus. Jesus, oh, how sweet the name. Jesus, every day the same. Jesus, let all saints proclaim its worthy praise forever. The angel Gabriel told Mary that she was to name that boy Jesus. And to Joseph, he said, you are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sin. In Hebrew, the name for Jesus is Joshua, and in Greek it is Jesus or Jesus. For years I thought that was a unique name, meaning that's the name only one individual would ever have. Imagine my surprise when my wife and I were in Mexico City in the hotel. The bellboy brought the suitcases to our room and he said, if you need any help, just let me know. My name is Jesus. Ooh. That shook me. Jesus is a common name among certain Spanish cultures. And Jesus is only one of the many names the Bible, God's Word, gives him. The first one is, in the Greek, Christ. In Hebrew, Messiah. Both mean the anointed one of God. I came across a little writing, and I'd like to share that, The Names of Jesus, by Dr. Robert Billings. I'm going to read it and see if you can, ahead of me, give the name of Jesus, whatever the Bible uses at that point. And I'm starting out with, to the architect, Jesus is the chief cornerstone. To the artist, he is the altogether lovely one. To the baker, the bread of life, the living bread. To the banker, he is the hidden treasure. To the biologist, he is life. To the builder, he is the sure foundation. To the carpenter, he is the door. To the doctor, he is the great physician. To the educator, he is the great teacher. To the engineer, he is a new and living way. To the farmer, he is the sower, and Lord of the harvest. To the florist, he is Rose of Sharon and Lily of the Valley. To the geologist, he is the Rock of Ages. To the jeweler, he is the Pearl of Great Price. To the philanthropist, he is the unspeakable gift. To the philosopher, he is the wisdom of God. To the preacher, he is the word of God. To the sculptor, he is the living stone. To the servant, he is the good master. To the student, he is the incarnate word. And to the sinner, he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. To these, we could add many more from Scripture, as Kenton already read from Isaiah 9, verse 6. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. In the New Testament, we have other words added yet, like truth, Lord, Master, Son of God, Son of Man, Savior, Redeemer, Conqueror, and then many more yet. The very word Christmas is derived from Christ. And we cannot consider Christmas without the purpose of God coming to in the flesh. And John chapter 1, verse 14 says, "And the Word," which is another name for Jesus, "the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory is of the only of one and only, full of who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." Now, long before the birth of Christ, Isaiah prophesied that a son would be born to a virgin. And notice the name there. "The virgin will conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel." By the way, whenever you have a word in the Bible ending with E-L, that E-L is always a reference to God. So the first part gives a definition, and E-L means God. God created man, that is you and me, in order to have fellowship with him. Man, through sin, broke that fellowship, and God sent the Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One, to show that he would be Emmanuel, God with us. That's the meaning that the angel gave to Joseph. When the angel visited Joseph, he said, "His name, you shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us." Now, the name Emmanuel speaks of God's purpose, God with us, fellowship with God, started right in the beginning when he created man. But in order to experience God with us, another name was given to describe God's actions. And again, it was to relate to Joseph through the angel of the Lord. The message came to Joseph at the time when he was in great turmoil. He loved his bride, Mary. He loved his bride Mary very much, and in his mind, as also in the minds of his parents, Mary had been unfaithful. How many saw this last week the movie, The Nativity, what's it called? The Nativity Story on TV. Some of you saw it, yeah. 2 weeks ago, we had family gathering, and my cousin and I were talking, and she said, "Well, why don't you rent yourself that DVD, The Nativity Story?" So Monday morning, first thing, I go to the library. Library's locked. Second day, I go. We don't have it. Third day, I'm at home flicking. Oh, The Nativity Story. Channel 27, 25, Vision Channel. Hey, 10 minutes to go. I said to my wife, "You want to see this? I'm watching it." So she came. We sat for 2 hours watching. Very good portrayal of most of it. There were a few things like the shepherds coming, the wise men coming to the barn and all that sort of thing, which was 2 years later, according to Scripture. But other than that, they did a good portrayal and of Joseph, the turmoil Joseph was in. He looked at Mary and what's the first thing that went through his mind? "You have been unfaithful." And it just bothered him. And his parents, it really bothered her parents too. In fact, This is not in the Bible, but they did show this, and it is a possibility. Joseph was walking on the street, and a man came, a young fellow his own age, came by and handed him a stone. And Joseph looked at that stone. And he was in turmoil. And then he dropped his hand, he walked away. What was that stone to signify? Anybody know? From the Old Testament. Stoning the individual. And he was supposed to throw the first stone. He couldn't do it. Now that's behind what you read in Matthew chapter 1. When he says that he was wanting to put her away privately. So no, it wouldn't be she wouldn't be a disgrace. And that's when the angel came. And after that visit, Joseph was a different man. And so were her parents. They accepted that. The messenger came to him that it was a true that she was pregnant because God, the Holy Spirit, had placed the seed within her and God had chosen Mary to be the mother of the Messiah. And that Joseph would have to be taking the responsibility of caring for that boy during his growing up years. And that child, at that time already, before birth, was the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You see, man was in sin, and there was no way out of that life of sin unless God stepped in and provided a way out of sin and to bring us into a close personal relationship with God. And recorded in Matthew 1:21, the angel told Joseph that people were in sin, and that includes you and me. And Romans 3:23 declares that, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Then the angel reminded Joseph of the meaning of the name Jesus. He will save the people from their sin. Joseph was not left alone with the spreading. He was supposed to now spread this news. But he wasn't left alone. God doesn't work that way. God sent an angel to the shepherds to inform them about their birth and that they would find the Christ and how they would recognize him. Everything was given to them there, as Brother Ken read, wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And God never does things by half. It was a message that this one angel that must have frightened these men ever so much. But then God fills the whole sky with angels that he has sent. And they sing praises to God. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. We cannot talk about Christ the Anointed One, Jesus, Savior, Lord, etc., without speaking about relationships. Listen once again to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Last night we sang that beautiful song, Prince of Peace. Der Friede first. I know where the words Der Friedens first came in, but the Bible speaks of it as the Friede first. The peace Prince. First is Prince. Anyway, let's look at those titles for a moment. Wonderful Counselor. Jesus is wonderful in that he fulfilled over 300 prophecies about his first coming. He is wonderful to us and in our lives. The songwriter says, without him, I could do nothing. Without him, I'd surely fail. Without him, I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. In times of struggle, he is the ever-present counselor, Wonderful Counselor. No matter how difficult it may seem, he is able to guide us to higher ground. One man was so overwhelmed with this, and he looked at this and he said, Jesus was the bread of life, yet he went hungry. Matthew 4. He was the water of life, yet he was thirsty. John chapter 4. He was the comforter, and yet he wept, John chapter 11. He laid aside the crown of glory to receive the crown of thorns in the Jewish hands, leaders' hands. No wonder he is called the Wonderful Counselor. Being God, he is the Wonderful Counselor. And then to help persuade mankind, he came and proved it and showed us why we should believe that. Secondly, he is the Mighty God. He is our Creator. The children sing, "My God can do anything, anything, anything. My God can do anything." How many know that song? One, two, three. Oh, you better learn that one. God can do anything, and that's right. Nothing is too hard for him. I like this. He holds the whole world in his hand. That's a big hand. In his hand, he holds a tiny little baby. That same big hand. And so gently. That, to me, is mighty. I can just give you many more scenarios. You can think of them yourself. He is the everlasting Father. He is everlasting. That means that he was before the beginning. He had no beginning. John chapter 1, verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word," Word there, Jesus again. And what does it say? In the beginning was the Word. He already was. Jesus Christ, our Savior, already was before the world was created. He created the world. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and all things were made by the Word. Christ. He created life and all things that sustain life, all the elements. He created the sun, the moon, the stars, the great universes that the scientists now apparently have found another universe in which there is another Earth similar to one we have. I just heard that last week on the news. So what does that do to my faith? Well, some say, well, that just about destroys my faith. God came into this world. Well, how big is your God? I don't care how many universes he has created. He is God. And the more universes he has created, the greater is my God. Not just this one universe that we live in. He's wonderful. And then he created every molecule and everything that's in every part of inside that molecule, every atom. And the Hebrew word for to create is echnealo, which means to create out of nothing. All you and I can do is create things. We say we create things with this material and this material and this material. We call it a beautiful creation when somebody has made something. We didn't really create it. We just changed a few things. God created out of nothing. He is great, mighty, loving. He is from everlasting to everlasting, and he is our Father. He is my Father. The word Father speaks of love beyond understanding. It speaks of tenderness, of sustaining us, of carrying us when we cannot make it through in our deep and testing experiences. He is the Father and loves us. He is a Prince of Peace. Peace is a very precious commodity in our world today, be that on an international basis, provincial, local, or personal. Unless it begins with a personal peace with God, very little peace will be accomplished. When we read the history of God's people in the Old Testament, we find that them having peace only during those times when they were faithful to what God had for them, when they did exactly as God directed them to do and worship him only, follow him explicitly. The Lord is the only one who can give peace. He is the Prince of Peace. During our years here at Glen Cross, it has been the tradition to invite at the Christmas program, as we did last night, to come up here and sing their Friedefest about the Prince of Peace. Beautiful song. And it's a song of Christ being that great Prince of Peace. And he becomes our counselor, our mighty God, our everlasting Father, our Prince of Peace, the moment we ask him forgiveness. And then he also becomes Lord and Master of our lives as we daily surrender to him in every situation in our lives. And when we say things that hurt someone, it hurts the Lord too. For example, it's rather personal. It happened last Sunday morning. I walked in and I saw Bill and Kathy Drieger. And I wanted to so much give some words of comfort. I came there and I see Ken Hildebrandt already with tears in his eyes, ministering. What happened? I have no explanation. But I said something that was totally irrelevant, had nothing to do with comfort. I called Bill right next day and asked for forgiveness for being so insensitive to his need. But I also asked the Lord to forgive me because I was not his true messenger there. Whenever we hurt someone, know this, we have hurt God. And we need to ask forgiveness of him first. That's number one. Then we go further. But he is such a loving, forgiving God. I recognize the truth of the words of that one song I learned in Winkler Bible Camp when I was a kid. And I'll never forget that song. We had to memorize it. The first part of the song is a beautiful promise of God. The second part of the verse, the second verse, always gives me a jolt, because I find it so difficult to live up to it. The first verse goes like this. Romans 10 and 9 is a favorite verse of mine. Confessing Christ as Lord, I am saved by grace divine. For there the words of promise in golden letters shine. Romans 10 and 9. And then comes Romans 12 and 1. Romans 12 and 1 is a verse I will not shun, but yield to God alone who is there upon the throne. Now listen to this next part. If he's not Lord of all, he is not Lord at all. Romans 12 and 1. May I repeat that? Romans 12 and 1 is a verse I will not shun, but yield to God alone who is there upon the throne. If he's not Lord of all, he isn't Lord at all in my life. Ernie will come up shortly to lead us in a song about Jesus, the name Jesus. There's just something about that name. But before we do, let's pray. Lord, thank you for coming into this world. First of all, to show us how to live. And the angels already showed us how to worship. Then you showed us who God really is. And then, Lord, you gave everything you had on this earth, even your whole life's blood, just for us. We thank you, Lord, for that forgiveness, which is so clear in Romans 10, verse 9. And now, Lord, we want to make you Lord of our lives each day as well. Help us not to forget who you are. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Grant, Lord, that that will be our experience, everyone, this Christmas. In Jesus' name, amen.